Try and talk to the side of it so you know we don't pop too much.
Like this?
No, like pointing away.
Like this?
Yeah, like that.
That's stupid.
You don't have to. You don't have to, like,
how you doing?
You don't have to, like, caress it like that, but just kind of to the side so you're not popping.
Caress it like a cat getting ready to kill.
Jason has trouble with microphones.
Rob is super anal about microphones. Is the trouble that I have?
Care about the builders and their listening quality.
He doesn't want it to.
Yeah, see, you peaked there.
Yep.
Yep.
I didn't see that because I was too busy looking this way to make you happy.
All right, well, I guess we can get started.
Hey.
Yeah. Hi. Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is, it's actually Saturday, August 6th, 2016. You're listening to episode 219? Is that right? 219? I think that's right.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, pretty sure that's right. My name is Rob. That's Jason.
Hey.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming. Woo! Yeah, we have a huge audience.
Rob's going to just loop that over to make it sound like it's like 1,000 people.
Yeah, like dude did on We Will Rock You.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so thanks for coming out to record this podcast. This is exactly 5 times as many people as we usually have listening to us.
While we're recording.
500% more. Yes. While we're recording.
So. While we're recording, yes.
Yeah,
it's true. So thank you for wandering all the way out here. Despite Gen Con's best efforts, you still figured out where we are, so good for you. You've won. That's pretty exciting.
It is. Thank you. Everybody having a good show so far? Yeah? Yeah? Playing good games yet lately? Yeah? Any favorites you can shout out?
Saloon Tycoon.
Saloon Tycoon, okay. Shadows of Estern. What is that? Tabletop role-playing game. Sweet. Okay, cool. Excellent. Dark Deeds. What is that?
An assassin
in London. Okay.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Sounds dark.
Sounds very dark.
And deedy.
We played that Dungeon Rumble from Cool Mini or Not last night. That
Dungeon Rumble.
Fun. Dungeon Rumble. Yeah,
okay.
Check that out.
It's like 10 rooms, 10 little characters, and a treasure, and you're trying to do
quick, easy play, get the treasure. Cool.
That
I like
sounds,
it.
Sounds fun. Clank.
Oh,
Clank. I believe you're talking about Mr.
I think it's Clask. Was it Clask?
I don't know.
Clask. Yeah, that looks
hockey
neat.
Hockey with
magnets. Okay. We're going to repeat everything you guys say because the people at home won't be able to hear you.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well.
Yes.
Yeah. Josh makes an impact and he understands things.
Right. So.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
Gen
you
Con
found
likes to
us.
Chase us away. Yeah. So, what have you seen that you've been excited about, Jason?
What have I seen that I've been excited about?
Yeah.
Stuff. I bought. I've only bought one game for me.
Okay.
Which was Vikings on board.
Vikings on board.
And it looks really cool. So this is what I heard. So I heard from several people this game's really fun, and then I heard there's a lot of cardboard in it, like construction cardboard. But it comes pre-put together, so that was a check right there, because then I'd have to put it together.
Right.
And then when I went to the booth, the guy's like, it's only $40, which actually, I was for that much cardboard, I figured it'd be more. And then he was like, if you buy it at Gen Con, you get these wooden barrels with it to do something.
Whoa!
And I was just like, just take the money. And so
yeah,
I bought
wooden
it.
Barrels.
So, yeah. I really wanted to see a playtest first, but I've heard from Katarski and a few others that it's really good. So, type of people that like the type of games I like, so... I have to just trust that maybe they know what they're talking about. So,
right on.
Right on.
Right on. I found one earlier today. I think it was called Tales of Arcana.
Yeah.
Tales of Arcana. It's a lightweight, rules light RPG, card based. And the way he presented it, it structured, it seems like it really, really encourages role playing. There were like 5 decks of cards, and he said, you know, so the game master still has to do some setup and some story prep and stuff, but then the players just come in, and there's a stack of race cards and class cards and power cards, and you know, and he'll say, you're a vampire, you're a shaman, and your weapon is a crossbow, just by flipping the top card off the deck. And that's the character that person has to play for the rest of the game.
And they also get a negative trait.
Yeah, they get a negative trait, like I'm greedy or something. And then as they play the game, you know, they get some kind of a counter, like, hey, the example he said is, hey, somebody just stole your backpack and is running away. What are you going to do? And he said, well, I'm a vampire, so I'm going to use my vampire trait. And I'm fast, and I'm going to catch him. And so he flips it over so it's face down. That's used. And then, you know, you roll a D6, and depending on what the result is, the game master says what the result, or, you know, how it goes. But then he can't use that vampire trait again until he uses all the other traits.
Right.
And after they're all flipped over, then they all go back.
Including the one that's always a critical fail. Yes.
Right.
So
it was real simple, real clever. And he said it's designed for just doing simple one-shot RPG sessions, designed to make it super accessible.
It could be 30, 40 minutes, you know, something easy.
I was really excited about that. I thought that was cool. And I've got some friends back at home who have been kind of nagging me to run a campaign, but I just don't want to do all that, you know? So that seems like it could be a fun option. But anyway, this was the highlight of the day for me today.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I got a Hacky Sack Pokeball I felt pretty good about. So, and then I got two more Hacky Sack Pokeballs and had them embroider my kids' initials on them. So my kids will be super excited about that because
he's going to get a Poke Sack, too, that he can put them in.
Yeah.
And hang from his belt.
It'll be weird if there's three Pokeballs in my Poke Sack.
Well,
is this the Gen Con Blue show? What's happening here?
You're the one who made it blue.
You're the one who said the word sack.
So, you gotta keep your Pokeballs in something.
It's called the backpack, Rob.
Oh, okay. I thought they were supposed to hang from your belt. I thought that was the thing.
I don't know.
Isn't that a thing?
According to the Pokemon Go, they're in my backpack. I don't know. And my backpack's always full of stuff I don't need, so I have to throw stuff out all the time.
Alright, I don't play Pokemon.
Yes, I know.
Scandal. Yeah, so I guess that's kind of the nutshell. Josh looks like he's going to fall asleep in the back there.
Yeah, speaking of Pokemon Go, if you're looking to catch the wild Pokemon Yeti, Josh Mills back there is a good stand-in for that.
It's because he's hairy.
So, so before we get too far into this, throughout this show, we're going to be giving away some prizes that were given to us, basically sponsored today by Green Couch Games.
Yep.
So we have Walk on Fire with a promo pack.
Uh-huh.
And the placemat that comes with it, the mouse pad
placemat,
play mat. Well, look, it's like a placemat, though it would work really poorly because it just soaks stuff right in. But yeah. Anyways, it's really cool. We also have Avalanche at Yeti Mountain with a promo pack and a playmat, and Jurassic Attack with a promo pack and a playmat. You guessed it. So yeah. So, and then I have a couple copies of Water Balloon Washout in case someone here doesn't have it. Pretty sure most of the people here do. So, and then I've got a couple copies, or a few copies as it is, of this is, it really ties the room together. I had to remember, I couldn't even remember the name of my own game, but
it's tough.
This is what I did for, well, they changed the name partway through. So this is a game I did for Jason Tagmeier's company, Button Shy. They did a whole series of postcard games where it's inspired by pop culture movies, kind of cult movies. And yeah, it's got to use a standard deck of cards to make the game. And this is about building the dude's rug from The Big Lebowski. You're trying to build a replacement rug. And it's a lot of fun. So, yeah. So we will be giving these things away. So
we should give one away right now.
We should. Based on the number of people in this room, I got good news. Your odds are good.
Pretty good.
The odds, as they say, are ever in your favor of winning something.
Pretty good.
So, yeah. So how are we going to give some away right now, Rob?
Who has a die? All right, Doug's got a die. We should have a roll off.
Well, he's the only one that's got one, so.
I. Does VZ have a die?
He's gonna pull out a 20 sided. This is only a 6 sided. I'm gonna
get
in trouble.
Oh, all right. Well, let's have a roll off. D6s.
Yeah, yeah. VZ's like, but I was gonna cheat.
I want percentage dice.
I kind of feel like for trying to cheat, you should have to roll a D4.
All right. He got a one. One. We got two ones. All right. Man, it's getting tense already.
Wow.
All right. Got to roll again.
Oh, a five.
Five versus.
Actually, I got the six.
Oh! Six. Oh, Doug gets a six. Doug wins. So, take your pick, sir.
Yeah, take your pick. Anything you want up here.
That's the recommendation, sir.
They're all
well. If you're looking for, if you're looking for value, one of the Green Couch games is your best bet. Walk on Fire is fantastic.
Yep.
So the other ones are great too, but Walk on Fire is the brand new one. So, all right, yeah,
cool. Thank you.
If you see the Green Couch Games booth, make sure to stop by and say to Tarski that you want it for free. You're not going to be buying it. So,
Is that lower the value?
Well, signed by, depends on signed by who.
The designer is actually Japanese.
Yeah,
and
so
he's not here. So.
Yeah. Well, it was yesterday we were at the Green Couch with, and Matt Warden was there helping. And he was explaining Avalanche at Yeti Mountain to people, which is designed by Matt Wolf. And I was like, just tell them, hey, I'm Matt. And they'll just assume you're Matt Wolf and then sign them Matt Warden when they buy them.
Matt W. It's all the same.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, whatever. Yeah. Matt W. O. I mean, literally, it's this. It might as well be the same name.
Basically, same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we should talk about a topic, huh?
Yeah. What should we talk about?
What should we talk about? Whoever has the best topic wins a prize.
Except for you, because you already won.
Yeah, you're not eligible.
Probably the best prize.
You can still make a suggestion, though.
I wanted to Rob the other last night, which was about setting up, because I've been doing so much demoing of Saloon Tycoon and Salvation Row, just about the setup process and how that affects the play and the way people want to play it.
Oh.
You know, when you approach a game, it's got a ton of stuff.
Right.
Simple setup, and or at home, it's like, I want to play that game, but I really want to take the time to
set it up. Right.
That's really good.
Game setup and how that affects.
That's actually really good.
I think it's a good topic.
I'm hesitant to let Nate win because Nate.
Well, just off of that, also when you're talking about setup for pitching, having everything so you can have it on the table in front of a publisher in a matter of like 30 seconds.
Sure.
Yes.
Because I've pitched a couple of people like in the hall talking to them, and it's just like bust it out with the pieces and have it there ready to go. Because if it takes like 5 minutes, they're already like, oh, this is the worst.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so game setup. I think that's a great topic.
That is a really, really good
topic. I guess Nate wins
a
prize.
So, so Josh didn't really add much to that, but...
All right. Nate's taking Avalanche to Yeti Mountain. Congratulations. So game setup. making game setup quick or at least understanding that the game setup is not... Because you don't want a game that takes 20 minutes to set up and 10 minutes to play, right?
No, that's not fun. Yeah. So, I do think at the end we should touch on what Josh said, though, because I do think that it...
absolutely.
Certainly that's something I thought about this weekend when pitching with Ramblers, because there's a lot of bits and stuff to put out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's worth mentioning. So, not a total loss, Mr. Mills. All right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about personal experiences with that, I guess, to start with. So Saloon Tycoon has a lot of layout and a lot of setup that you have to do, frankly. Jason just gave the thumbs down for the listeners at home.
It's a super good game, actually. I freaking love that game. But.
And that was one thing as we were setting up for demos one day, the first demos I ran yesterday, there was a woman sitting there. She sat down. We hadn't pulled all the components out yet, and we start me with two of the guys who were helping AJ out there. I don't think Nate was helping with this one specifically, but we start laying out the boards and the tiles and dealing cards to everybody, and this woman started off with a really big smile on her face, and then she kind of slowly like sank back in her chair, and I got about halfway through and she said, oh, there's more. And I said, yeah, but it's okay. And don't worry. It's not that complicated. She said, it looks pretty complicated. No, I promise. It's fine. Don't worry. I know it's a lot. It's okay. Stick with me. We'll be okay. But, that's... You got to make sure that the fun and the satisfaction that people are going to get from the game is worth that setup time. I was lucky in pitching that game because I was just doing it at Unpub, right? It was just set up all the time.
And people were constantly playing it,
constantly
and the publishers got
it.
To see people constantly playing it.
So I didn't have to go to a pitch meeting with a publisher and say, I'm going to show you this game. I'm going to take 10 minutes to lay out all the pieces for you, and then we can talk about it.
And it's interesting, too, because with Saloon Tycoon, I would back up that it looks intimidating, but the game is super easy to play, and within a couple rounds, you totally know what's happening, and... You know, we've even talked about how you've got the secret goal cards and stuff. And on your first play, if you wanted to, you could literally just ignore that, right? I mean, like, if you were trying to make it real simple. I'll say walking around on the floor, I'll see a lot of games set up when they're demoing in the hall. And if there's a game that's got, like, 4,000 bits, I usually just keep walking.
It's true. Me too.
So,
some people get excited about that, though.
Right. Yeah. Well, then that's great. I mean, that's the thing. But you know, we both tend to like games that play in an hour or less, maybe 90 minutes if we're feeling generous. I mean, thinking about it that way, I guess that's immediately why we're turned off by it. But it can be deceiving, right? Because Saloon Tycoon, again, a great example where lots of bits, super easy to play. And, you know, once you've set up once, it's not that big of a deal to set it up multiple times. So,
wait. Oh, something's happened up above us. Is that rain or is that just
no,
the air conditioning?
No, it's the air conditioning. That's literally been going on and off for like 20 minutes. And you just noticed it.
I just noticed it.
Rob is the more perceptive one of the group, if you can tell. So.
I was focused previously.
Super perceptive.
So thinking about ways to do that. So if your game has a lot of bits, you know, I guess with setup, you can think about similar bits. Maybe you have a bunch of cubes in different colors. Well, those are easy just to put in a pile or somewhere, you know, or easy to sort out. Frankly, one of the best things that helps setup is putting it away, you know? If you're careful about putting your games away, and as a publisher, I hope that they give you plenty of little baggies and things for that so you can keep
that
it organized
helps,
in the box. That is something that I really respect, publishers who can do that, and I think that makes it a lot easier.
Something to think about when you're trying to show new players or a publisher your game when you're setting up, if you want to... So, and I did this when I was pitching Ramblers this weekend. I kind of tell it like a little bit of a story, right? To say, all right, so you're this trail boss, right? And you're going to be hiring these Ramblers to play poker. And like, so as I'm saying that, I'm pulling out the cards. So I'm kind of setting up while I'm talking rather than saying like, all right, let me get these pieces out. Okay, here's the setup. You know, like I try to kind of walk through it while I'm doing it. If you want to know how to do that really, really well, there's a guy named Jeff Johnston, right?
Sounds right.
Johnson? Jeff Johnson. I think it's Johnson. He did Moonquake Escape. And that's with Breaking Games, I believe. It's a new game.
It's out on the floor right
now. It's out on the floor. He's also in the hall. Ask him to explain the game to you, and he will tear the game apart, and he will set it up. And as he sets it up, he'll explain the game to you. You'll want to play the game by the time he's done because it sounds insane and also good, but like really, actually kind of insane. But he puts the game together, and it's a game that requires you to actually build the game up as you go. And he will literally build it as he's telling you about it. And it's amazing because it feels like no time has passed because he's entertained you while he's doing it. And I'm sure when he pitched it to the publisher, that's exactly what he did. And by the time he was done, they were like, we should make this game. And especially with Breaking Games because, you know, Sherry from AdMagic will print. She will attempt to print anything because they're always up for a challenge. So I'm sure she saw that and was like, oh, we're doing this.
Yeah.
So,
but we're just talking about demoing it as the designer, right? What about when you get that game home? You know, you get that game home and you want to play it at home for the first time. Like the experience that I had playing the Civilization board game, right? Where we said, all right, one day we're going to play the Civilization board game. Okay, we got a couple hours here tonight. Let's do that. And, you know, 45 minutes later, the game's not even finished being set up yet. And we're totally confused and pissed off, right? And then we said, all right, maybe we're just in the wrong. We, you know, we both had a beer. This is we're not prepared for this, right? Let's do it a different time. So the next weekend, we set aside our entire Saturday afternoon to play this game. And it took us an hour and a half to set it up. And then we played it. Yeah, right? Yeah, shoot yourself in the head. And then we started playing it, and we realized the rules were teaching us basically how to play an introductory game. It wasn't even a full game. Didn't have combat in it. And it was going to be like a 3-hour game after that, just for the learning game, not the actual full game. And we got about 3/4 of the way through that learning game and realized that it was just the learning game, and we've never played it since. Because the fun of that was not, there was no fun there. It was not fun. It was tedious. It was work.
Right. Yeah.
So that's another thing that can be really helpful to think about is, you as a designer, or you know, you as the person presenting it, you know your game already. So, what can we think of to? I don't know. I mean, every game is different. So I guess we're just saying that's an important thing to keep in mind, right?
Well, I think with a game like Civilization, you have to understand that why would they try to simplify that? I mean, you're playing a game called Civilization. You should know what you're getting into. Obviously, you didn't, but you should know what you're getting into, right? So. Yeah.
Well, I disagree with that, because the Civilization, the video game, could not be more accessible. It's super accessible. Now, it gets incredibly complex if you want it to be, but if you just want to sit down and quick play a game, depending on which version, but for the most part, if you just want to sit down and quick play some Civ, it's totally easy, and it's fun, and it's just cool and very satisfying. It doesn't have to be tedium.
Yeah, but That's like, have you ever played Risk on the computer? Because it's way easier than playing Risk in person.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what. Yeah. So
I should be able to correlate that in your head of
I'm
civilization
saying
civ
board
is easy,
game is bad.
But it's
what
really
I'm
hard.
They did that wrong.
How do you make the Civ board game not incredibly complicated?
Well, I don't know.
You know what you do? You make a different game. That's what you do. Like, all that's right. How you make it not complicated. Just make another game.
See?
There you
right,
go.
Right. Right. Yeah. Any thoughts from you guys on game setup?
Maybe if you don't need everything right away, you don't have to put it out right away.
That's a good thought.
Yep.
Leave some stuff in the box until it's called for.
Yeah, if you don't need it, don't put it out. Leave it there until you have to get it. That's a good point.
You know, another thing I think is some companies and some publishers, especially I would say some of the bigger ones, when they're making these big games, they want to put a ton of bits in them. And I think it's on them to ask themselves, does the game really need all of these bits? Is there a way to simplify this to not have, yeah, a score tracker or, you know, the game Evolution actually has a lot of bits. But it also has some really good tracking mechanisms so that it doesn't have twice as many bits that it could have. So that's just something else to think about. But, I mean, obviously a lot of the bigger publishers, they know somebody's looking for something hefty with a lot of bits. So they're going to do that. It just, unfortunately, is not helping with setup. But then again, those games, they're also not worried about intimidating you with a ton of stuff, right? Because you know what you're getting when you buy it. So I think for really the publishers that should be watching for that are publishers where they're trying to make very accessible games to new people. But, you know, I would say if you're hosting a game night or something and you're going to play a game, like a Saloon Tycoon, for instance, right, with a lot of bits that's not super complex but might be intimidating when you set up, hey, maybe set the game up first. So when people show up, you're already ready to go, right? That way, they are, you know, they're ready. They don't have to watch you keep pulling cardboard out of the box going, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good tactic.
I have a question for you guys. This is something that's new to me that never occurred to me before. But when you get a game with cardboard and you have to punch it out, are you guys the kinds of people that keep the extra cardboard pieces?
Yeah,
no? Yes? Well,
so you're a designer, so I'm not shocked by that.
I didn't realize. Well, but if you keep it with the game?
No.
No. Okay. So what I learned is
that piles of it in his house.
Some people keep these things in the game box, and they do that to maintain the depth in the box, because when they pull those they're not sprues, because I guess the sprue is plastic, but whatever, same idea. They keep those in there so you have the same thickness of material in there and so pieces don't rattle around in the box. It's never been a problem for me, but apparently some people are really passionate about that.
What about customizable trays? Like Small World?
Oh.
Those are cool. Yeah. Customizable trays are really neat. Yeah, Small World is a great example of that. Except, actually, Small World, some of those little tiles in the trays, those things fit in you. Once it's in there, you can't get that thing out. You just can't get it out. That's frustrating.
It's happy. It's home.
Right, and it doesn't want to come out. It's home, absolutely.
Yeah, if you want to spend some money and buy really fancy wood inserts, the Broken Token has some, oh my god.
That
gosh.
Stuff is impressive.
Yeah.
That wow. Stuff's impressive.
So.
Yeah.
Costs more than the game you're putting in it, so I hope it's a game you play a lot.
Yeah,
but
hope you love it. But.
Here's a question I have for people. Because I hear this question a lot on Kickstarters. They'll say, can I put my cards and sleeves in the box? Will it fit? Pull. Who sleeves their cards for games here? Anybody?
Some of you. Oh, most of you do a little bit.
You have one game? Is it because you play the game a lot?
Yeah, exactly.
So you just don't want to ruin it.
Okay.
It
really depends on the game. Like, we have every legendary.
Every legendary Marvel. That is a lot of cards.
Not
yeah. Wow.
We recently sleeved in Citadels. We sleeved all the rolls.
Okay.
Those get passed around so much.
Yep, that's good. And then it also makes them readily identifiable, right? That you've just got them right there.
Mm-hmm.
The Crossroad games, the Dead of Winters, which is making an expansion here this year. I don't usually sleeve those
because
there's a lot of cards for those games.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So some you do, some you don't. Depends on the game, depends on your usage of it.
Yeah. I just was curious because
it's not something I've ever done.
So, curious, what is the one game you have sleeved? Is it Water Balloon Washout? It is. I don't know.
I have that one.
I have more copies, so if you
actually, two Love Letter and Red 7, right?
Okay,
so, okay.
Yeah,
played,
well, yeah.
Played,
Right, and yeah. and it's not like you're going to run out of space for those. So, yeah. cool.
Okay.
Interesting.
I had never, ever in my entire life bought card sleeves until I started doing game design.
And see, and I had bought them when I was doing miniatures games because for tracking hit points, it's really easy to have the thing. You just write it with a marker and then erase it. So I think I had about 2,000 card sleeves. So, see, I tend to overdo things. So I was like, I'm going to have every card in a card sleeve. And there were, like, cards that I've never in my life used and will never use. Because, yeah, no one uses them because they sucked. But I had them in a card sleeve just in case. Well, once I became a game designer, that turned out to be awesome because I had, like, 2,000 card sleeves. So, so then when you give them away to a publisher, when you give a prototype, it's not as big of a deal because, you know, mm-hmm. you have so many. And I still, if we're somewhere and I, if I need cards or something, I'll try to buy a unique color that I don't have. Because when I do a prototype, I try really hard to, if there's like four players and they all have their own cards, I'll try to put them in different color sleeves. It makes it super easy to sort, super easy for players to tell what's theirs. Yep. Yeah. So.
There you go.
It's good stuff.
Should we pitch a game?
We can pitch a game.
Okay, I think we should pitch a game.
We're going to pitch a game.
Yeah. And we should give another prize.
Yes.
I think whoever comes up with the best title for this game is going to win Jurassic Attack, the Green Couch game with the worst name.
Oh. I didn't say that. Rob Couch said that. I don't agree with that. Jason Kacharski gave us free stuff.
It's a great game with kind of a bad name.
I don't think it's a bad.
It's a funny name. What's that? It is a great game. So we need to start with a title. What do we got? Nobody has any ideas for a title?
Not everybody else wants to try and, like, maybe we'd take turns saying titles.
I was going to say we can jump in with words.
Sure.
Super.
Super?
Soda.
Super soda. Super soda. Any other ideas? Nothing? Okay.
Josh Mills, you design games. You really have nothing to say? You already have Jurassic Attack, don't you?
I can't win the thing. His word is nap.
Super soda nap.
Super soda
Tagmeyer. Super soda Tagmeyer.
Salvation.
Super soda salvation. That's not bad. Yeah.
It does sound like the name of an anime.
It does.
Game.
I kind
of
like that. All right. Well, so you guys have both already won something, so I think VC needs to win the dress tech. Do you already have it?
No.
No? All right. It's all yours, man.
I'm going to give you a gift for it.
Oh. I love the sound of that. What do we got? VC's got some presents.
He's got a backpack for us. Nope.
Oh.
There's something
Uh-oh.
Inside.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Oh.
Some good.
Question.
Oh.
It's soda.
Whoa. Holy crap, dude.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
Kickaboo, Joy Juice, Ski, Cheerwine. What is this?
You both got a random one.
Fog soda for me.
Butterscotch beer.
Butterscotch.
Nice.
Ooh.
Nice.
It's not alcoholic, but it's
right.
Those are the components.
All right, I'm going to open this fog soda right now.
What is the flavor on that?
I don't know. Pure cane sugar. Drink fog. It says drink fog.
It literally says drink fog.
It's...
It looks like Zima.
Well, thank you, sir. This is awesome.
Cream soda? Yeah.
It tastes like marshmallow.
Lucky Charms marshmallow.
Lucky Charms marshmallow.
I'm going to try this.
That is the best kind of marshmallow.
Butterscotch.
Beer.
Ouch. Oh, man. You're not even kidding. Wow. It smells
this
like that.
This is also very strong.
Mmm.
This kind of tastes like butterbeer from Universal.
Mmm. That is tasty. I like that.
This is tasty.
Yeah, it's kind of a cream soda, but yeah, more like Lucky Charms marshmallows. That's beautiful. Thank you. It is.
Is it magically delicious?
It is magically delicious. You're right. It absolutely is. Yeah.
There's a soda shop that opened up by us called Rocket Fizz.
Oh, nice.
Old school soda. Oh, nice.
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 We need
We're
to
posing
have that.
For a picture now.
We need to have that by our house. Well, yeah. We probably don't, actually.
No, no, no. It'd be dangerous.
Oh, we have the one by us.
All right. Craft Soda Store.
Nice.
I love it. Thanks, VC.
Yeah, thank you.
It's awesome.
Appreciate this.
I wasn't sure how much the Smart Alec actually be because it almost got you both roast sodas.
Gross sodas? You almost got us gross sodas.
They're titled gross sodas. Like, one of them is called
Pirate. Okay. I'm trying to repeat everything that everybody says, but I'm not going to repeat that.
Pirate pee.
Pirate pee, all right.
Pirate pee soda.
Banana flavored soda.
Dog Jewel, which is the cream soda one.
Ooh.
I have that one.
Yeah, you know what? I think that...
Sounds great.
I think that I saw the Dog Jewel one time somewhere when I was at the Shipshawana place and I was getting the other sodas I had found. I think that... yeah, I think Dog Drool might have been there. That sounds familiar. And it didn't entice me to buy it because it was called Dog Drool. So.
I think the worst one out there is called Pimple Pus.
Pimple Pus.
Oh.
A lime soda.
I guess that makes sense.
What's the consistency?
Oh,
like looks like gooey. Oh, nice.
They have a Rock Fizz here in downtown Indianapolis right by where the circle of the big statue is.
Okay.
Right on the border of that circle.
Rocket Fizz. Okay. We might have to check that out.
That sounds awesome.
On the way out of town. Yeah. Yeah, right. Sponsored by Rocket Fizz and Green Couch Games.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate this very much.
Okay, so the game was Super Soda Salvation.
All right.
Super Soda Salvation. Well, I think we need bottle caps to be a component. I think bottle caps need to be. Have you guys seen Brewing USA out there?
Yeah.
Doesn't that look great?
Yeah, that looks really good.
That looks so good. Yeah, yeah. I need to pick up a copy of that before this weekend's over.
So I was going to say, like, what if you're in the apocalypse and you use bottle caps to get stuff? And I realized that is Fallout.
So, you know.
It's a box of emergency money.
What if...
Yeah. billion dollar idea.
But I feel like with the word salvation, it makes me think of Salvation Road, ergo it makes me think of the apocalypse.
Sure.
So what if...
yeah, you can spend some time with it.
What if you aren't using these for currency, but what if there was a culture of people that did something with soda? I don't know what.
I love it. Keep going.
So, and ruined the world. And now the only way to figure out how to save humanity is by figuring out the clues from their bottle caps.
Bottle cap clues.
So you're collecting the bottle caps.
So, but it's about the label, the stuff that's printed on top of the bottle
caps? Yes, or maybe even inside. Sometimes they print stuff inside.
Sometimes inside, okay.
You know?
All right.
Sometimes it's just a lame code you have to put on the internet. Other times it's like a lame saying that won't make you smile. That's mostly on tea, though.
Okay.
There's a lizard somewhere.
Hopefully not in your soda.
Right.
Lizard pee, the soda. It's lizard looking good.
Huh. Is it a hallucinogenic lizard?
It might be. Is that like a thing?
I've heard
there's an animal that if you lick, it's hallucinogenic.
It's a frog.
It's a frog.
Yeah, it's a frog.
There's also frogs that if you lick, you'll just die because they're like the poison dart frog, for instance. Named not because it can shoot poison darts, which would be sweet, but because the natives in that area will take it and turn it into poison.
So this is a game about...
I'm just going to try and get us back on track.
So this is a game about we're searching for clues hidden on bottle caps.
Yes.
Are the players poisonous frogs?
What?
That
doesn't
make
any sense.
Hey, this is an alternate world. You have an idea? We're from a soda clan.
Oh.
Okay, so VC says, first of all,
that's really good.
That's good, yeah. So we are each representatives of our own individual clan, and we are searching for bottle caps from our clan's history and to follow the clues to find some...
To find kind of the mecca, which would be, of course, the factory that made
soda
the soda...
Factory.
Of your clan.
Right, and it's kind of a narrative almost.
So, like, I picture, like, artwork with people wearing, like, bottle cap armor or
yeah.
something, right?
Bottle
with
cap
your,
armor, sure.
With your thing on it. Yeah, oh, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that.
Okay, so what's the core mechanic in this game? Any ideas?
I thought it was bottle cap finding.
Well, that would be a feature of the game, but what's the core mechanic?
Bottle cap building.
Thank you.
So like
another idea?
Building or dice building, but
maybe like
a barter system.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Bartering does sound like a legit.
Sure.
So what if you know? There's obviously your own primary bottle caps, right? So you've got your own bottle caps. That those are the thing you want the most because they're yours. They're your clan's bottle caps. Or maybe what if you start with a stash of your clan's bottle caps, right? Because those are your clans. That's what you got. Everybody starts with the same from all these different clans. And then maybe there's some off ones, too, that are not from any clan.
Okay. Yeah, I like where you're going. Yep.
So,
go ahead.
And so those are Dr. Thunder. So those are it's a small clan. So the Mountain Poo.
What? Mountain Poo. That's funny because it's poo.
Yes. It's always funny.
Yeah.
So the idea being that that you're using these as currency, and yours would have no value to you because you have them, right?
So I think we need to modify the history here. I think all the clans previously they were different brands or different flavors from one central producer of soda, right? So think of it like Ski, for example, is made by the Double Cola company, okay? And so Double Cola is the parent company, and they make Ski, and they make Double Cola, and they make, I don't know, a couple other flavors. So the parent company is Salvation Soda, okay?
Oh.
Salvation
Soda. That's nothing like Nuka-Cola, so that's good.
Yeah. And we in the far-flung future, our individual tribes have kind of aligned ourselves with just the one specific flavor of soda. And now, but you have to create sets of battle caps from all the different clans to follow the clues to find the corporate headquarters of Salvation Soda. So I think that's the narrative we have here.
Would that be the Salvation Soda Road?
Maybe we should come up with a different name than Salvation. Super Soda. I don't. Super Soda Sabotage. Okay. Yeah. So we're bartering caps, and we want to have a complete set, but we don't want anybody else to have a complete set. So maybe when we're trading, we can say, I'll offer you're offering some kind of combination of on the table and under the table caps. Say I'm going to offer you this one. Plus four that you don't know about under the table, right? And what you have versus your caps are like in a bag or behind a screen or something, so nobody knows exactly what you have. I don't know.
That works.
Yeah.
This is how I always look on the show. When Rob talking, my eyes glaze over and I think about other things.
He's not wrong.
Mostly Rob not talking, but So anyways, no, that's not bad. That's not bad to have some, like, I'm going to offer you this plus, well, it doesn't have to be on the table. It could be, I'm going to offer you this plus three more face down.
Sure.
So.
But I think under the table because you need to have already selected them. So you can't mess around.
Okay.
I'm not sure why that matters, but it does to me.
Sure.
Maybe it'll matter.
It matters to me a lot.
Yeah.
So I was actually trying to think of a new name for the game. That was all.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll keep working on the game. You work on that. Cola Wars. Hey, that's awfully similar to Soda Kings. Hey, maybe this is the new version of Soda Kings.
Soda Tribes. Soda Kings. So you make a game called Soda Kings, right? About a big company. And then the sequel to that game is Soda Tribes. And in Soda Kings, you've accidentally caused the apocalypse. And in Soda Tribes, it's all bringing it back together.
Here we go.
So basically, we're designing a game that we can't make until Rob actually designs Soda Kings, which might be somewhere around the apocalypse when that happens. So
we'll see. Any other component suggestions?
What if you actually had bottles?
Actually bottles? Okay, like
I was at this teacher store recently that was going out of business, and I bought test tubes. Big plastic test tubes. I don't know what I'm going to use them for, but I couldn't not buy them because I was like, these are test tubes. I can do something with this.
Jason, people who do that kind of thing are called hoarders.
There's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for it.
Someday, maybe in the future. So, okay, but sure, we can have bottles. Bottles and bottle caps. We can do that. I'm fine with that. What do we do with those? Bartering. We're in the far-flung future. We're spinning a bottle. actually. That sounds delightful.
It's actually not bad. As long as there's no kissing involved. So. If I'm playing with this guy, count me out.
What if you have to fill the bottle with little bottle caps? So like little cardboard tokens. Okay. 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 So you have to do something on your turn in order to accumulate this bottle caps. You fill your bottle with caps, and the first person to win or to fill their bottle is the winner. So probably we're not working with an actual bottle. We're working with some kind of an abstract representation of a bottle with a quantifiable limit on it.
Ooh, I have a better idea. So what
I
if...
I thought that was a pretty good idea.
It is, but I'm going to make it better.
Okay.
Shut up. Every turn, so... there's this giant bottle, right? The idea is there's this giant bottle of that was probably from the factory, right? Okay. That's in the middle of your place where all the tribes meet.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, right? So, yeah.
I'll hail
right,
the bottle.
Exactly. So, you have to like, pay to the bottle, right? Like,
the bottle.
Yeah.
Pay
homage to the bottle, right? So, on your turn, you have to be putting bottle caps in, but you also are trying to keep the ones you need to accomplish your goals. So... every turn, it's deciding what you have to put in to pay homage. And when it gets to a certain point, that's when the game ends.
I think at some point you have to be able to sacrifice one of your people in order to claim the boon from the bottle.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too. Just dump it out.
I'm not
going to do that because that would be messy.
So I think I like this is a worker placement game, and at some point you start the game with
sacrifice your workers,
and at some point you have to sacrifice a worker to the bottle, and then by doing so you can claim the boon from the bottle where you get to dump out all those bottle caps and use them. Oh,
right,
this is good too.
Yes,
so you shake the bottle and then only shake it up and mix it up, and then you only shake out a few. Yes, this is a good idea.
I like
we're getting
that.
Somewhere now. We're getting
yeah.
somewhere. All right. Hey, it's coming together. Okay, so the workers then, the workers are accumulating bottle caps. It's a search action of some kind, right? What other stuff could the workers be doing? Could they be fighting? Could we be warring with each other or stealing caps from each other?
I don't see why not.
I don't see why not.
We're tribes.
Yeah.
They worship a giant bottle.
But the bottle. It's the bottle.
Yes. It's like the big Duff beer bottle, right?
Right. Okay. All right. What other worker actions? Does this game have cards in it? What do the cards do?
You always want cards in the game.
Okay. Sabotaging stuff. So stop somebody else from using their worker to do things.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay,
or
good.
Stealing
bottle caps with cards. Okay. And then we can have a worker action to collect cards of some kind. Right. I didn't understand that at all.
Well, I think we're putting the bottle caps in the bottle, but the workers are doing that. So you may need to have a worker placed there to allow you to... in fact, maybe if you put a worker on the bottle, you'd have the option to either put them in, right? Because you need to keep appeasing it every once in a while, or to be able to pull it out and take a few out, like you're stealing from the bottle, right? So you've got a worker that's secretly stealing from the bottle. Exactly. Right, making the bottle angry.
Oh,
which basically
yeah.
means getting caught by someone else for
right.
doing that.
Right, right. Somebody has to appease the bottle, and there will be some kind of an escalating scale. Every turn, some marker goes up, and you're going to roll a die to see if the bottle god gets angry and then overflows. And when it overflows, it does something cool. Or it's something terrible, actually.
Cool and terrible. It's like a volcano.
A board with maybe six locations.
Six locations on a board, okay.
Search. Uh-huh. And then, if you have one worker there, but you have two workers, maybe they can intimidate the other worker, or they can change the ratio of what you find or what you get to search for.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, so I think we're at about like 25% of a game here.
If we're trying to put bottle caps in
Yeah, volcanic soda, right.
It's a better name.
Oh, okay. Okay, workers are going out to gather ingredients. And what? Okay, so the ingredients are gathering ingredients but not caps? Or are we selling the ingredients for caps? Selling ingredients for caps. Okay, so there are just things that you need out in the wasteland, and you're going to sell them to other tribes for caps?
If you're still at the factory, the ingredients can still make you...
can still make soda!
Which you get caps from.
Of course, there you go. There you go. I like this.
30%, okay. All right.
Volcanics, yeah, 30%. soda volcano or volcanic soda. Or
like volcanic soda.
The great volcanic soda god. Okay. All right. What's the wind condition? So is it reach a certain number of caps? Is it...
you shake out the bottle, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. So right. When you're emptying it to secretly take some out. So, like, if I take it and shake the bottle into my hand, I get some caps. I'm not going to show anybody if they were mine or someone else's.
Right.
So at the end of the game, you're going to dump them out, and you're going to see who's got the most caps in there, and that's the winner.
Okay. Yeah, so you just play a certain number of rounds, and then at the end of X rounds, it fizzes, and you dump it out, and you see what you got. I like this. This is a viable concept.
70%.
Yeah,
this is a non-viable concept with some cool ideas attached to it.
I don't know, it's not bad. I mean, thematically it's pretty stupid, but I think it's fun. It's a fun idea.
The theme is the best part.
It is.
And the bottle, using a bottle caps, dumping them.
Do we have this room for an hour or two? Two?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know there's
people
like
lurking
outside. They could be ganging up for another one. One of them was dressed like Donald Trump. I'm not lying. They had like a wig or something. I'm not sure what's happening.
I'm going to punch him. I don't advocate violence while I'm being recorded.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. Uh-huh. So,
oh, we have some more stuff
to
give away.
Give more stuff away.
We have two copies of Water Balloon Washout and...
two copies of...
It really ties the room together.
Really ties the room together. Yeah. So...
So, who wants one of those?
He doesn't want to win the prize.
They are pretty lame prizes. Jason made them. So.
Well, since, you know, you didn't bring any prizes and I had to do all the work for it.
The only game that I've got is $55. I can't convince the publisher to give those away. So.
Cool. All right. Well, then I guess we're not going to give anything else away.
Okay.
Since nobody else wants anything.
No, yeah.
Sorry, Jason Tagmeyer. Nobody wants your game.
Yeah, so you guys got questions for us? You're very pretty, VC, yes. You're the prettiest man in this room.
Only because Josh Mills left, though.
Right, right.
Hey, do you want to be the prettiest man in the room?
Who was the best Iron Design judge last night? Josh Mills is not in the room. Nate is in the room. Also missing is John Gilmore. Best by what criteria, I guess? I don't know.
Best by is didn't cause problems. Well, that knocks Josh out.
Right. Whose idea was it to save the scoring for the end?
Josh.
Then he's definitely the worst judge. Okay. Then it's between you and John.
What was it? You got up and explained something, Nate. What did you do? You like got up and said, oh, you got up and did the audience applause thing. I appreciated that. And for the dance contest. So
that's good. You encouraged Anya.
Awesome, been Josh's idea.
Whatever.
You did it. So credit to you.
All right. You, pardon?
You did the dance contest?
We did the interpretive dance.
You have to do interpretive dance. So.
Yeah, you can't have the IDC without interpretive dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the video should be on YouTube in the next few days.
I think. So we'll be tweeting it, and I'll put it also on our website in the Iron Design section with last year's and the year before's videos. Chris Kopak was awesome enough to record that in for us. He always does a fantastic job, and you'll get to see some things the audience didn't because we had to make a quick change at the end because Rob sucks. So because of that,
what did I do?
We had to change a round because you didn't have all the stuff for the round you said you had. So.
Yeah.
So they ended up designing a game, and they decided to do that by huddling next to a table so the audience couldn't see or hear them. But Kopech got right in there and taped a lot of it. Right. So there's also some hidden commentary in there from Ben Pinchback.
Giving
some strategic stuff.
Okay.
His thoughts on it, you know.
Good. It's well worth your time.
Yes. Yeah, so definitely check that out when it goes up. We will tweet a bunch about it. But it was a lot of fun. This was one of the most fun years ever. Already had people talking to us about wanting to know how they get into the action next year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's pretty exciting.
Pro tip, get in a fight with somebody.
Yep.
Build some beef publicly on Twitter. That's really the best way to do it. And what's that again? Matt Loomis, we're looking at you.
The only problem is we can't have any math questions.
No math questions, right.
It's unfair advantage.
Right. Let's see. Do we have any Twitter questions?
Why would we have Twitter questions?
I don't know. People tweeted us.
Rob is weird.
My phone doesn't work in here. No, it really won't. Yeah, it's bad. Because we're surrounded by iron.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of it.
Okay.
It's actually a gold titanium alloy, but it sounds cool, so. Get it? That's funny.
Not. Okay. Well, I guess if you guys don't have any questions,
we'll just call it a
show. I hope everybody's having a good time at Gen Con. Woo. Yeah. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
And to our builders, we hope to see you next year at Gen Con, or find us at Grand Con if you can make it to that.
Yep.
Of course, Origins and Unpub are our big events as well. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to villaingamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at podcastbtg. Jason's at JASlingerland. I'm at Pulley_designed. And you can like us in the places and call our Google Voice number at 770-TELL-BTG. And that's all we got.
All right.
All right. Take it easy.
Good day.
Woo! This is super good.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast.